Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Good morning and welcome along to episode 174 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest on my own this week in Perth, Western Australia. Going to head off to Fremantle today, so going to take you with me. Hopefully we have a chance to have a chat with a few people around and about as I travel. If not, it'll be me describing a few scenes on the way. But I'm here, I'm in the ute, the day job have provided me with, which is quite a large vehicle. It's I'm not allowed to call it a pickup truck, apparently. I'll be in trouble for that. But it's basically it's a cab, four-door cab, with an extra bit on the back, which is open to the elements. So I'm sat here with recording gear, sunscreen, cap that doesn't match my outfit, and hopefully enough electrical equipment to get me through the day, cameras and the like, and should be able to explore, take a look around Fremantle, as I say, and head down there and see what is actually part of the coast, where they have apparently ghost tours and various other things which take place on a weekly basis down there. It's, I'm guessing, from this very tourist-orientated area of the city of Perth. So please join me as I head around this particular bit of Western Australia. Well, I've arrived in Fremantle, and this is where I intend spending a good part of this morning. Basically, talking to everyone at work, they said, yeah, get along nice and early, you can pop along and have breakfast. So I left the hotel just after 7. It's taken me just over half an hour to get here. I've just had a quick look around the harbour end of the area, and I'm just trying to find somewhere that's open. And there doesn't seem to be much. There seems to be lots of people on bikes today. I think there's a bike ride going on. Just going to have a little look around and explore, say. We will hopefully find someone to have a chat with a little bit later on. There's various craft fairs and things down here, and I currently stood beneath a giant Ferris wheel, which has been set up in the bay. So I'll share with you some of the exploits down here in Fremantle. Well, although it's still early and we've had a bit of rain this morning already, with top temperatures expected of about 22 degrees C here today, which is quite refreshing on the grounds I was dreading 30s and 40s. It's quite nice down on the beach here in Fremantle, currently at the site of the old jetty. Now, this seems to have been a long jetty at some point, going out over a kilometre into the sea. And this was built in the 1800s, so mid-1800s onwards, this was actually a major port in the area. There's now a new port, which is sort of just over the bay from where I'm stood at the moment. In the early 1900s, this area had a sea bath, following on from the European trend, and all rather popular. There was initially a men's area and a ladies area. Eventually, by about 1910, the men's area was allowed to be mixed, so you could go bathing with the family, but the ladies still kept their bit. But looking down here at the moment, there's you can still see sign of docks and where they were offloading fishery activities here. There's quite a large area, which is the harbour, which I took a look at a little bit earlier on. But all that seems to be blocked off by large bricks, or the giant rock construction, which is often used to protect these sort of areas from the elements. Apparently it does get quite bad down here. In the days of the long jetty, the sea captains used to complain because they were like literally a kilometre out at sea, trying to offload their goods onto this large wooden construction. And they had terrible problems due to the other way the weather would come in down here, even though looking at it today, it's quite a flat, calm sea. So there are cranes and leisure centres along the front. Various bars, there seems to be quite a few bars. Who would have thought it in Australia? And you see a lighthouse just off to my right-hand side. And it's quite a picturesque area, but not a massive beach down here. Particularly seen as this was where the sea bath was and it was all created. So I'm not sure whether that's because of the construction of the harbour, which has taken a lot of that away, looking at the pictures. But it is still quite a lovely, refreshing view and nice, fresh air. And it really it is weird, the thing of the concept, I'm so far around the world, but it's now just an area which has got a beach and a small pier. But to think it was actually designed in the style of the European holiday destinations, I think Llandudno's got nothing on the weather here. Well, it's now hitting 9 o'clock in the morning in Fremantle, and all the shops are opening almost on the dot as the town clock struck nine. In the middle, there's an area called King's Square, and it's got free Wi-Fi, a piano, two table tennis tables, and some electrical sockets outside so you can charge your laptop whilst you are using the free Wi-Fi. Some amazing trees, and the wildlife is quite noisy in the middle of town, even this time of day. In the centre there is the town hall, which was actually built in the 1800s, stopped being used in the 60s, and then got refurbed in the 80s, and is now open as a free exhibit. So we'll be heading in there in a short while's time. Well, I've been around the exhibition in the Town Hall, and that was actually put on by CCHR. Now, their director, Ian White, hopes to have a chat with us in a future episode, so we may be hearing from him about the work that they're doing at the moment, looking at mental health, not only in Western Australia, but with a touring show which is making its way around the world. I've now come along to the Maritime Museum, and it's the Shipwreck Galleries. They have two sites down here in Fremantle, and I'm joined by Kerry Moore. Hello, Kerry.
Hello, Jason. It's nice to have you here.
And it's nice to look around, and a fantastic building that houses the Shipwreck Division of the Maritime Museum.
This is a wonderful old building. It was built in the 1850s by the convicts that were brought out here after they decided to not become a free settler colony anymore. And they brought out convicts to create a labour force. So the convicts actually had to build their own prison to start with. If you get to see that, it's a worthwhile visit. And then they built this building, which was called the Commissariat to start with. Now, the commissariat is basically a storehouse, a warehouse for the government, and that's where all the goods came and went from.
Because Fremantle's been a port for many, many years, and it's now moved as a commercial port over to the other side of the bay itself. But, I mean, Fremantle, it's an amazing place to walk around and a fantastic town.
It is. It's got a lot of old history here, and it had early settlement from 1829 by the British, but it's got much older history than that, from the 1600s, when the Dutch were exploring and looking around the West Australian coast. The Dutch were the first ones to put Western Australia on the map, so we owe them a lot of our history, and we've got some really exciting feature items in our shipwreck galleries here from the Dutch shipwrecks that we've found along the coast.
Now, from the Dutch to the Long Jetty and the way goods were brought in, I should think the treasure at seas out there have taken a few casualties over the years.
Absolutely. There's been more casualties than I think we know about survivors. So it has got an amazing amount of history and spiritual feel about the place in more ways than one, because the indigenous people, we credit them with looking after the land here for a long time, first of all, too.
Because there were camps on this land when the visitors first settled.
There were indeed, and they were mobile camps, if for want of a better word, but they moved around, but they knew their way around, and they looked after the land in an exceptional way.
Now, what is preserved in the Shipwreck Museum? Because back in the UK, I know we've dug up the Mary Rose from the bottom of the ocean, and that's available to see. Have you got that sort of shipwreck that maybe been brought back to life here, or is it artifacts from boats that have gone down?
We've actually got a part of the Dutch shipwreck, the Batavia, from 1629. We've got that's the only remnant of a shipwreck from that era that we know of. And it's in the Batavia Gallery, of course, with a lot of other artefacts from four different Dutch shipwrecks. So it's quite a lot of stuff to see here. We've got two shipwrecks from the 1600s and two shipwrecks from the 1700s. And it's really interesting to compare the artefacts and the transition from using pottery for liquids to glass for liquids and that sort of stuff.
Glass can never be safe on a boat, though, surely. Mind you, pottery is not great.
Pottery smashed up just as easily as the glass did. But there are some surprising pieces that are still whole. And surprisingly, the way they packaged them was even more interesting than the stuff itself, in that it was packaged in straw and in crates and that sort of stuff. So it was really interesting discoveries.
Now, you've worked down here at the Shipwreck Galleries as well as the main Maritime Museum further over in Fremantle. And what sort of things can you see there?
In the other Maritime Museum, it's got mostly the 20th century history of Western Australia, maritime history. And it's got some... Oh, the feature item there would have to be Australia 2, which is the America's Cup winning boat. That was the first boat to win the America's Cup outside of America in 130 years. So we're very proud of that, and we happily show that to you and tell you about it. But we have a lot of other things down there. We've got an exceptional naval defence gallery. We've got a display on whaling and pearling. We've got Fremantle Harbour development and immigration and quarantine. We've got a large section on fishing, also talking about conservation and in fishing and that sort of stuff, and a very large section on leisure, as well as a section on Indian Ocean, which is because we are part of the Indian Ocean, so there's been a lot of interaction across the Indian Ocean for centuries.
As well as that, I know you know some stuff about submarines too, and their role in the sea life of this coast.
Yes, from the Maritime Museum down on the harbour, you can see the basis for three of our submarines. We had two submarines in World War One, and there's a conning tower replica of one of them in the museum there. And from the viewing window there, you can look out on an Oberon-class submarine, which we actually offer guided tours through. And you can look from there over the top of that submarine to Garden Island, where from time to time our current fleet of submarines comes in to visit and stays in the harbour there at the naval base. So they're the Collins-class submarines.
So if you're ever in the area, if you're popping down to Perth, come along to Fremantle. It's a fantastic place to come and visit. So I've been down to the beach and it's absolutely gorgeous. I haven't got as far as the South Beach yet, but it's a really nice and I'd say restful place. I mean, do you suffer badly with weather? Because it's glorious sunshine a lot of the time, but do the seas get a little rough?
That's the whole reason for the shipwrecks.
Yeah, it is just because it can get quite choppy out there.
Yes. We have a Fremantle doctor that comes in every afternoon or most afternoons, and that's our sea breeze coming in. But sometimes it's more than a breeze, it's quite a gale, and it has blown many, many sailing ships onto the coast or onto reefs or places they didn't want to be.
Are you looking for new exhibits? I suppose that's the way you get your new stuff. You look for the weather conditions to turn bad, and before you know it, you've got something new to put in the gallery.
Not so much nowadays. Ships are much more capable of coping with the winds and the waves nowadays, but so we don't tend to look for too many shipwrecks nowadays. In fact, nowadays we create the shipwrecks by blowing up old ships and creating them as using them as dive wrecks. So it's a totally different focus for old ships now.
A change, but one that still allows people to go down and get the scuba gear on and have a little look around and explore the ocean and see some man-made objects sitting on the ocean floor.
Exactly, yes, much more interesting and much more leisure type stuff rather than seeing deaths and unfortunately skeletons and things like that. Yeah.
But you still get the wildlife swimming around them.
Oh, absolutely, the wildlife in the ocean's beautiful. All the way up the coast there's beautiful reefs and fabulous fish and sea life and corals and things like that. It's just lovely.
Kerry, thank you for talking to us and thank you for a little bit of the history of the museum that's full of maritime history here in Fremantle.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming along and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here.
I now find myself on Wireless Hill, the home of Capital 101.7, the golden years of radio. I'm in the studio with the gentleman who's presenting at the moment, and that's Paul Redman. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, and it's nice to see a community radio station working well in Perth. So tell us a little bit about the station itself, because you've been around for 10 years altogether.
Yeah, just over 10 years we've been going. Our main genre is providing music for the over 55s, and we are restricted to that, but run entirely by volunteers, and we all love it here.
Now, you've spent the last 3 years in your home on Wireless Hill, and there can't be a better name, place, or radio station than this, can there?
No, well, Wireless Hill, there's a lot of history with Wireless Hill. Last Sunday, we had the centenary since it was opened. It was an overseas telecommunications base built by Telefunken in 1912, and a bit of an irony there because there was two people tendered for it. One was Marconi, the other was Telefunken. And Telefunken won, and then 2 years afterwards we were at war with Germany, and it was turned against them. But it was used a lot by medical professions where you had ships at sea without a doctor and they could transmit information to try and help people who were injured.
I'm thinking of maybe having a look around the museum that's next door to the station a little bit later on. Tell me a bit about how you got involved in this, because has broadcasting been your prime employment in life?
No, I've had more jobs than I've had hot feeds, I think. But now a lot of people said, Paul, you should be on radio, then we could turn you off. But that's about the only connection with radio. But I started off as a producer. The producer here is one that answers the phones and makes the cups of tea. And then, very regrettably, one of the presenters had a heart attack and passed on, and I filled his shoes. That was in a classical music program, and I've been doing that now since 2009.
And you also presented a few more programs on the station this week with Cover. You've actually done three shows.
Yes, I did Breakfast last Friday, or Friday week actually. I'm doing the Saturday show, music from the movies, musicals and shows, and Thursday night from 8 through to 11 I do the program, which is Capital Classics.
And how is community radio funded over here? Did the government get involved in that?
Yes, they're very generous. We get support from the local council, who give us a very generous rent on these premises. The government, ACMA, which is the Australian Community Broadcasting and Media Authority, they help us, and also we get funding from Lottery West, as well as raising funds ourselves to help us keep on the air.
Because you have your annual radiothon, so tell us a bit how much fun that must be, because that must be great, getting the community involved in something like that.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. We have people on the phones and ask for donations, and we can, on the odd occasion, let people have requests. We're not a request station. And also we get prizes from various places around there, and we can offer prizes. And it is great fun.
And when you're doing something like that, and when you work at a station like this, do you become a bit of a celebrity in your community?
I don't think so. It is a bit of an ego trip, I'll be the first to admit that. And among my circle of friends, they say, oh, I loved your program last night, or something like that. But no, I think I can walk through the annals of the shopping centre without being accosted for autographs.
You are just around the corner from Woolworths, so I think there could be a way of, you know, it might be worthwhile promoting yourself a little down there with photo cards. That might be quite nice. But when it comes down to listeners on a station like this, do you actually have surveys? Do you get feedback on the number of people tuning in?
No, it's difficult, because surveys cost a lot of money, and we use our funding to put into equipment, etc. We are hoping in the not too distant future to have the transmitter mast at the top of the Darling Range escarpment, which is where all the television and radio masts are. But at the moment we're recording from, or transmitting from, Wireless Hill. But no, we keep our funding purely to keep the station going.
Well, long may that continue. Over a decade already, and some fantastic work being done, I'm sure, and people across the community enjoying what you do. So Paul, thank you for chatting with me, and continued success in the program you're producing.
Thank you very much, Jason, and welcome to Perth, and I hope you enjoy your stay here.
Well, you may be able to hear the rain there on the roof of the ute. I'm sat in the car, still up on Wireless Hill, just left the community radio station. The Wireless Museum is closed. It's open next Sunday. As I'm not here, I won't be able to experience that one. But there's actually a full park round here. Now, I'm going to keep it as the fact it's raining as my excuse for not walking around there. I do like the outdoors. I do like a good wander. I'm hoping to get geocaching if I get back to the hotel in time tonight. But the young lady who I've been talking to on the phone to arrange the meeting at the radio station did say to me, oh yeah, lovely park, but I went out there for a walk last week and this snake came across in front of me. So I think I'll give that a miss. They are poisonous around here apparently, and I don't wish to tangle with the wildlife, as it were. So I'm going to give that one a miss. However, I'm going to be heading back into town very soon and see where else we end up on our tour around Perth today. Well, the rain continued, and I'm now back at my hotel room. I did go along to a small town just outside of Perth, probably about 20-30 kilometres away, that was a town sort of on the edge of the bush, as expected. However, it was still absolutely tipping it down when I got there, and there was a shopping centre, and that was about it. So, unfortunately, no one really to chat to out that way. But Perth seems to be a very interesting city from the bits and pieces I've seen down in Fremantle. It was really good. So I will sign off for episode 174, I think we're on, of the Milk Bar. And I shall be back for episode 175, back in England next week. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah. Goodbye. the buff on the mill bar, yeah.